This is Dr. Ta.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Diablo.
This is Dr. Head, and you are watching and listening to and experiencing
Unsane
Radio.
Be kind, rewind.
Oh, hello inmates. Welcome to another therapy session. Tonight we're going to talk about some of the memories we've had of a lovely local video store called Video Spectrum. Is that the one?
That was that one. Video update. In was Bowling good. Green.
Bowling
yes.
Green, Video Spectrum. And yes. Then what's the big one? I thought Video Update. Like, no, that's the one I worked at. What was the video store? Here, I guess there's a memory. One we can't remember is the name. What was
which
it?
Which one?
The big video store that we're going to talk about tonight in Bowling Green. You live right down the street from it.
I thought Spectrum, Video
was
Spectrum.
Was it Spectrum?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. News place. All right, then I guess I got it right.
Video Spectrum was the only place in Bowling Green I ever...
Well, was... then they had like whatever that family video.
Family stuff. Video.
Oh, okay, and, yeah.
And all, what was
I just
it?
Couldn't remember.
What were the big ones? I mean, you know, what was the...
Blockbuster.
Yeah, Blockbuster was around. I worked at a Video Update, which I don't know. That was
yeah, I never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, not enough people did. That's why it went under, I guess.
There was no update.
Yeah, Blockbuster, and there was another. Hollywood Video was another big one.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember video stores. Yeah. Yeah, we had a bunch. And I remember that when VHS first started coming out, that it wasn't like video stores yet, but like, a lot of stores carried movies, like the local photography shop. They sold cameras and film and shit. And also you could rent VHS movies. They only had like 50 of them, but you know, but you could see sci-fi
usually
and fantasy.
Had to, a lot of people had to rent the machines too. You remember?
Right. I mean, yes. They had that, those.
You could rent the video.
The
VHS players. Yep.
Yeah. And then we had the one I liked the best was an appliance store. And one of my schoolmates worked as her family's store, and they had a shit ton of videos. I mean, they had well over 1500, which, you know, that was a lot of videos, a lot of horror and like trashy horror, which is great. And the movies were like a dollar, you know, it was just, and you rent nine, you get a 10th free or something crazy like that.
Yeah, you know? She had specials that would come out every once in a while, coupons, you know, like, you know, rent a machine for the weekend for so much and three movies or whatever for some price or anyway.
Yeah. Cause VCRs were expensive, like $1,200 for the Betamax when it first came out.
You know, that was a whole battle there too between Betamax and VHS, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And VHS won.
Because of porn. Over.
Because of porn.
Porn, yeah, the porn industry.
Well, we must say that, yeah, they've been the innovators of a lot of technology, cutting edge technology, because they're the only ones that could afford it.
Well,
which goes
to
show you the state of things.
Well, their insight was, you know, straight to video stores. So you didn't, you know, the only other place you could get porn was like going into a theater. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
Cinemax.
It was a major paradigm shift in the porn world. That's for sure. Yeah.
But the Beta had so much better clarity and resolution than VHS. It was noticeably better. Sound quality was better. It was just a better product. But VHS had the better marketing. You know, just way better.
And there again, you know, they were smart because they started manufacturing the VHS machines, and the price came way down. You know, pretty soon they weren't you know, outrageous. They were still pretty high, but you know, they weren't outrageous. But it was great. It was great the first time you bought a VHS player, and you know, could go. I mean, that was a total, you know, that was a major deal. You know, for anybody that liked to watch movies, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was you know, a big part of, I think it was a big part of everybody's life at that time, you know, because it was such a such a change.
Well, you were a slave to whatever the networks were going to play.
Channels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was it. You're right. I remember.
Well, and we also had, and then cable was coming along too.
We got cable and VCR.
Right.
Bar VCR, you had to like manually like. No, I don't think I had. I think this we had the cable, the VCR before the cable, because you had to manually like scroll in. It would tune in to your channels that you could record. Our old, you know, and it had presets, so you could find like, oh, I'm going to channel the three major channels and maybe channel 43 or whatever. And that's, you had to these little buttons, and it would attune, it would find that channel. So then you had to click the button, switch over. Oh, here's channel 43. I want to record that one. You know. But yeah, when cable came in, they kind of bypassed that, and it opened things up to like recording a movie and being able to watch it anytime you want. It was so just transformative, and like, oh my god, it was the cheapest way to like get a video collection was taping stuff off of TV, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that extended play, and like I would make a cassette that had all three Star Wars play on it. I mean, it was shit quality, but you know, you could just run that for, you know. For 6 hours or whatever.
When you used to settle for shit quality though too in some movies, you know, it's like, I want to see this so bad, you know. It's usually like hard to find movies, but yeah, I'll watch this print. Then it got to the point where no, I don't want to watch this print.
They also
but like, just when you could find like VHS, remember when there was like all these little stores in the back of like Psychotronic magazine and Film Threat where you could go buy all these VHS tapes, you know, and they getting shitty prints from, or shitty recordings from shitty prints, but and they would sell them for what was it like?
Was that the late 70s?
VHS came out, I think, well, commercially, I think in early 80s.
Was it early 80s?
I think so.
I thought it was like, I thought it was 70 something.
I thought Beta was there before, earlier.
Or maybe not, yeah.
Maybe that's it. But I mean, as far as my awareness of it was early 80s, because, you know, early 80s.
Where it really took off. Or
yeah, I remember bringing my stuff to school. I mean, before it was all said and done, when I moved out of my apartment 20 years ago, I had like over like 1,200 video VHS tapes full of movies. Working at a video store was helpful. But it was just, you know, you had to have a book. Because I would put multiple movies like Gadfly on one, unless it was like Johnny Sacco or something, and I bought those. But generally didn't care about the quality as much. It was about the quantity.
And it, VHS, it was 77 when it was commercially available in
Okay.
The U.S. Yeah, and it was a year before that in Japan. But it changed the whole idea of how we interacted with movies and how movies got made. So, you know, we talk about the porn industry. Prior to them getting VHS and being able to tape on that, they would have actual stories to their movies. These were like, you know, full-length productions where there would be scenes that were not just sex.
Dirk Diggler. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's Boogie Nights. It's just like that. But
right.
Saying On Golden Blonde had no story.
Edward Penis Hands? Come on.
Right. Well, and you remember, like, there was the Westwood here in Toledo that was a porn theater for decades.
Good name for it.
You know? And it would, and it's still around, but it's now a Westwood Theater of the Arts.
It was a porn theater, and they would show art movies sometimes.
Yeah.
What's considered art movie.
Yeah. Well, they call it Westwood's Theater of the Arts still. I mean, I think it's still open.
Yeah.
And then, but the other thing was, you know, the VHS was the first time we had stuff on demand. And then we wanted to, like, have ownership. You know, you would go out and buy, you know, those movies, and they were really expensive at first. I mean,
yeah. Like $80 for a pan and scan copy of a movie, right?
Yeah, in the pan and scan, you know, you forget about that. You know, that was like television, and, you know, the VHS.
Yeah. For those of you out there who may not understand, you know, pan and scan is because if you go to a movie theater, it's a giant rectangle, but your TVs at the times were square. So the only way they could fit something into a square without squishing down the picture was to zoom in, and that's the scan, and then move the camera back and forth to try to follow the main action. But that was relying on somebody making the decision of what that main action was. But it really reduced the quality of the film, but it fit. But then once we started getting higher end VHS would come out with Letterbox, and especially when you got stuff from like Anchor Bay or what's the other big one that does all the restorations, Criteria. Criterion. Criterion and Anchor Bay would bring out these lovely VHS that were mostly foreign films, but they were kept in their original ratio letterbox, as it was
and
called.
And cleaned up. And usually,
yeah, beautifully remastered.
It's basically Criterion. Yeah, Criterion became
That was their mission.
It's still the go-to place if you want to watch the best quality and have the best. You know, that Criterion, their editions are the best.
Well, they have their own streaming service too. You can watch Criterion. You can watch Criterion on. I think they have their own streaming service. Plus, they also have it if you have Hulu. You can watch all of the entire Criterion collection, which they keep adding to. You know what I mean? There's always...
That's good. Yeah, I didn't know that.
We have Hulu.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't either.
I was getting ready to drop it.
Oh, is that like an add-on app or something?
No, I don't know. I would check with the Hulu, because I don't know if that was... That was on there for a while, but I don't know if they then went to their own streaming platform where you can
rent that. But their VHS tapes were great.
Well, you go back to that, you know, that's... It started and Gadfly, you talked about a little bit with all that VHS, not only for people to watch, it became that platform for filmmakers, and it became way more mobile than so much easier to do than film. And then you had people like Full Moon and Tempe and, all of the low
and more
low
immediate,
end, that was starting to produce and put things out. And, we'd go and watch those.
That stuff literally shot on video. You get like
Hill that's all that all more. That was shot Zombies, on video. Right. That's why I said that's
Robot Ninja.
That was the advent of. The whole VHS revolution was, and with the VHS equipment, that was the advent of the independent, tape. Mm-hmm. Full Moon is a prime example, or Full Moon.
Their
Charles
stuff
Band.
Before they went to film, was there earlier stuff on video? Yeah. Okay, I've only seen Full Moon stuff that was actual film, so right. I didn't know that they were doing
early
video
stuff.
Film
that went to
early
video.
Stuff was video.
The idea behind that was that when VHS and video came out, all the big companies did not want to put their movies out on VHS because they were afraid people were going to pirate it. So that left like a giant window for all of these independent people to just pump shit into those video stores who were just looking for content because they couldn't get all of this stuff. And so they would then, they would sell them to the video stores. You know, they'd sell 10 copies at $100, $300 a pop. And they're like, that's how Troma got rich. That's why, what's-his-face can go in and still live
Lloyd
in
Kaufman.
An office.
Lloyd Kaufman.
Lloyd Kaufman can still live in. Because he made millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he was smart. He said, we wanted to own all of our content. We wanted everything that we distributed, so we would buy it from somebody. It was ours then. And then we would, put that into a video and we'd sell that. So I don't know, what his paradigm now is he's got Troma TV, is it? His own streaming platform?
Yeah.
That people can buy? But,
that brings into, how VHS went on. We watched just so many movies on VHS, allowed us to watch, like you said, Dr. Head, we got into all of the foreign films and stuff that you'd read about, and
classics.
Heard about. And then finally, you started to get to watch, watch these movies. They weren't always the most perfect, renditions of the film because of, the technology and everything. But it was still, it got pretty good. VHS wasn't bad. The biggest problem with VHS became that the tapes just went bad. They stretch because it was that physical tape. You played it so many times, it would stretch. And that's when you started getting the artifacting and everything. So they were limited, not unlike DVDs who came out. Oh, these will last fucking forever. No, nothing lasts forever. DVDs do last way longer than VHS, and then we can talk about VHS. And then what happened? The whole DVD revolution, that's a whole thing between DVD, Laserdisc, developed.
Picture disc,
right?
Yeah, Laserdisc, right?
And then and then that started taking over the video stores. Mm-hmm. You know, it they started converting from VHS and bringing in DVDs, you know, which was even greater, because then you got, because you'd not only got
and
really
DVD players good, price good are coming down.
Yeah. And good quality, but also you got that, you know, the added benefit sometimes of having the commentaries, the extras, you know, that you couldn't have on VHS or, you know, that and wasn't audio, coming.
The audio quality was so much better.
And the quality just was mm-hmm. good, but there's nothing, you know, it was nothing like, going to the video store was an event, you know, you go rent a couple of movies and, you know, and then get pissed because you forgot to take them in the next day and you owed them $5 or whatever the overcharge
late
was.
Fees.
Late fees. Yeah.
unless your friend worked there. And then they would absolve you. So, like, our buddy Ed worked at a video store over, what was that called, Star Video or something like that. And so if I brought shit in late, he'd be like, whatever, you know. And so he'd absolve the late fee.
Just
so
don't I'd let always, it happen again.
If I knew it was late, I'd always wait to see if he was in there working. so I wouldn't have to do it. But he would also hold shit back, you know. So he'd be like, hey, look, I know you wanted to see this. I held a copy back for you, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's so awesome.
Well, yeah, you're talking about, I have probably three actual things that I shot that are only on video, VHS, you know. They were like, back when you know, the VHS camcorders, you know, started mm-hmm. coming onto the market and everything.
You have a lot of handheld stuff. Well, it wasn't just for family movies, right?
Well, and that was the also a big advent for the whole horror hosting. I mean, that became a major thing, you know, how you could, shoot yourself, you know, shoot your show, because it was, you know, it wasn't film anymore. It was, you know,
editing was
kind of like
though,
film,
right?
Because it was tape, you know?
Right. I mean, I didn't do any editing other than like physical, like when a tape broke, I'd have to splice it with a piece of tape, you know?
Yeah.
But how did you edit? Did you run through did you take a cut and then copy that into another tape? How did you edit on video on VHS?
I never did. It was just a straight shot. It was it wasn't a film. It was it was like shooting an event. One of them was my oldest granddaughter's cheerleader. You know, she was a cheerleader, so I shot an event with her cheerleading. Yeah, no, I didn't edit. No.
I didn't edit
video until I got into college.
Yeah,
because when I started college, it was
video toaster.
VHS was still going, and they hadn't transitioned into anything other than VHS at the time. So that was always, we had like two machines, so we could.
So you had one playing, and then when you wanted to cut, it was recording onto a second one.
Right. Well,
there was also what's called video toaster, because that could help you cut.
Yes.
To a tape, so you could play a tape and it would then grab what you wanted and
right. We had video. It was video toaster that we used.
Oh, that's cool.
Because we right when I was when we were when I was in that was would be the what early 90s when that was when the transition was starting, you know, because I have the singular distinction of doing the first digital project at the University of Toledo ever. Thanks to Midnight Gadfly, who was really up on the technology. And I did a video and brought it in. Everybody was just fucking blown away because they were going, what is this? Because I wasn't going into the editing studio. I was doing it at home. And everybody's going, what are you doing? You know? And so when I brought it in, they hated the video because it was so fucking weird. But they liked the process, you know? And that was, I mean, it was fun because we were in the, you know, while I was in school in college, that's when they did the transition, you know, from VHS to digital.
It was Media 100 is what we used, but there was also the one that the film industry was starting to use was Avid.
Avid.
And what they would do is they digitized the film. They would then edit it. But then that edit wasn't what they used. They used that as a way to conform the film edit to what they wanted. So it hadn't reached the ability to do film quality and transfer that digital copy back to film.
Right.
and look like.
Oh, them. So just gave them just, signposts. Here's where to cut.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Interesting.
Yeah, there would just be the reels would be they would be labeled, and you'd have whatever frame it was, whatever reel it was, and so the avid could put out an edit decision list for you that had that stuff, because you just label all your stuff that was digital that way.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah, which made it quicker because editing film is a real process.
Yeah, editing at all, even digitally, editing is a monster. Yeah. But
when you have to physically edit the film, you know that was
that's a
challenge.
Whole other layer.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I never did in and I could have, but it got to the point where I had considered it. What's called conforming, that's your final edit of your film, and what you put it together, and it's a process. You have to, we didn't have an official conforming station, so we had to convert a room, because you had to, it had to be almost sterile, you know, there was all kinds of because working with film is very different, because it's so physical and it's so delicate, it's fragile. But I decided, you know, I didn't want to, you know, and he said anybody wants to conform can, and we all, the digital revolution was here, you know, so almost all of my class said no, that's something that's not even going to be in our future, you know, this is what's going to be in our future, so let's concentrate on that. I think it was a good move, because you know how many true films are made anymore, you know?
It's video that looks like film.
There's also,
I almost have to be a low budget or art film to actually have film, maybe. Well, I don't even know that's the case.
Certain people still shoot on film.
That's the thing. It's certain people, not the majority, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, it's becoming an elitist occupation or endeavor. It is absolutely an elitist endeavor.
Who's shooting on film right now?
Tarantino.
Fincher.
Fincher, Paul Thomas Anderson,
Soderbergh.
Well, Soderbergh does everything.
Does both.
He makes iPhone movies too.
That's a revolution right there. That the ability to the iPhone or the kind of editing suites that are available on a phone is just staggering.
Yeah, as an aside, you know, watching YouTube, and this guy's going, okay, I'm shooting this. I shot this video. Look at this. And it was on an iPhone, you know. And then he goes, oh, I got this really nice, sweet camera. Now look at how the quality. And the quality of his video wasn't any better. You know, it was, I have the better equipment. I have the more expensive equipment. I'm going, you know, and the guy that shot that all to fuck was David Lynch. VHS too. He shot all the people that said, "Oh, you can't make a film on this. You can't do anything that looks good on this." Oh,
it was also Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle, yes.
What's the vampire movie that he did, or whatever? Not vampire, zombie. What was that called?
Yeah,
Twenty-eight days later. That was all shot on those. To get back to the video stores.
Yeah.
What the death of the video store was, the first thing that happened was Netflix, right? And not even just the streaming, but the ability to have stuff come to you, hold on to it as long as you want, and not have late fees, right?
Yeah, Netflix was, originally wasn't streaming. It was originally a service.
Physical DVDs.
To rent DVDs.
His idea, the guy who owned that, his idea was streaming. He goes, I want to be there when streaming is when the infrastructure is there.
It just wasn't in there. But he was smart, because the Netflix business model was fucking great, you know. And everybody you knew started going, because if you can send for it instead of going to a store and, you know, getting
and send it back, and no late fees, and you're gonna have the
world's biggest video store.
Yeah,
you know, you can look for anything. I used to do that and then I had my computer rebuilt, and I put in two DVD burners, and that's how I started bootlegging, just like I did with back in the VHS days. Yeah. Brendan and I had the same VCR, and they were compatible, so it would override like the protection that was often put on a VHS tape. So that's we just had a shit ton of movies. I'm like, and when I worked at the video store, I brought a VCR in, and I would just record movies.
You know? Didn't learn that you put the tape over the.
You pop the tab out when you want to keep it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I would get Netflix. I was on the three discs of movies at a time. I would get them, I'd burn them, and I'd send them back like the next day.
Oh, that's cool.
For a while, they were okay with that. Then they started like slowing things down. They got wise to it. Like, this fucker isn't watching three movies. He's just ripping them, you know?
Yeah.
And it'd be like, this one isn't available for 3 days. We're going to hold that. And it just got longer and longer. I'm like, listen, you fuckers.
Well, if you were to get like a series, so like I remember Briscoe County Jr. My son was really into that, and so you could only get 3 discs at a time, and it was like a 8-disc set, so you'd watch that first disc and immediately get it back in the mail, and so that it would go back, and you know, you could then get the next one so that you could just keep watching them without interrupting them, so you'd have this little like timing down for all of that kind of stuff, which I thought, you know, it's really interesting how that, and I used to really be into all the DVD commentary stuff. That mm-hmm. used to just be great. What they're doing now is now with the streaming services, they're putting those commentary, they're putting those extras in so that you can watch them if you want to on certain streaming platforms.
But it's like you can't switch between them. You have to watch that particular episode on the stream, right?
Right.
It's not like, you know, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm going to shut off that feature.
Yeah,
well, you can't do that.
Over.
Yeah. You can't do that in the streaming.
Right. I've owned 3 copies of of almost every Tarantino movie. You know, because I bought it on VHS, then DVD came out, so I had to own it on DVD, and then Blu-ray came out, so I then had to have it on Blu-ray. You know, and so I still have like I think multiple copies of a lot.
Don't forget
of
4K and 8K.
I have not even gone to 4K yet because...
Okay.
Yeah, my TV is stuck at 120 hertz or whatever it is instead of the 60 hertz. So anything on Blu-ray looks
soap
like
soap opera.
Soap opera. Yeah, it's so clean. Like, I'm watching Star Wars. I'm like, this is bullshit, man. So I go back to
the... film stock is lost.
Well, I go back to the DVD and it looks great. You know what I mean? It looks like film. It's not real crisp. It's soft enough. You know, so it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't do any of that. I just have Disney Plus, you know, right now, so that I can watch any of that stuff I want to anytime. But those streaming services, you know, when those started, you know, it was just Netflix. And then, you know, we get YouTube starts to...
Yeah, YouTube is the best streaming service that has everything, you know?
It does, but it's interesting because it was just a couple of guys out of their garage that started that whole thing, you know? And then Google's...
Like Apple Computer.
Yeah, Google's like, hey, this is cool. But yeah, well, Apple Computer was in the 80s, you know, when people still used garages.
Yeah.
And, but this was like the early 2000s or mid 2000s or something like that. And again, it all is based on what the technology will allow you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you were saying, we got the cable and that was great, but you had to plan around what was being shown, right?
True.
Your plan was around that. Your plan was TV Guide, all those things. And then all of a sudden you got VHS. And but then the VHS, you're like, why isn't this movie available? Why isn't that movie available? And that's the first time you start getting into the rights.
You're always on the hunt.
Well, there was all the rights issues because there was no such thing as VHS. So they didn't even know what they could get away with, especially with music, to put on a VHS and distribute it that wouldn't be illegal or having them to pay the artist or make a new contract with the musical artist or whoever.
That's where you started seeing concerts on VHS. Mm-hmm. Like I bought Iron Maiden Live After Death, you know, the VHS. And we watched that and listened to that album 1,000 times that summer. That's all we listened to, you know? So that was something else that you never ever saw or had the capacity to have concerts recorded, you know, other than like a live album, you know? LP,
comedians
or film that you know somebody would bring out a film, you know, like you know, god damn it, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, let it bleed. Let's Spend the Night Together. There's a couple they did.
The Altamont one, I'm saying.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, that became a document of a horrible situation, right?
Symphony for the Devil.
Symphony for the Devil. Yeah, the one where the with the Hell's Angels.
Yeah, stabbing the guy.
Yeah.
Well, we also, it was all about, that whole thing drove the amount and content and quality of the content of independent films. So with the 80s being VHS and transitioning into DVDs, the
Faces 90s, of Death.
The 90s was fucking, the 90s was phenomenal with great independent film. You know, you could still go see those in the theater, and then you'd want to get them, you know, on a DVD. I mean, I saw
on a DVD by then.
Great.
Being able to,
The video stores when they switched to DVD, it was good too. You know, quite a long time. I mean,
the quality was amazing.
Yeah,
especially because we were used to growing up. Like when I first saw, it was one of the Godzilla movies. I forget which one it was. It might have been. No, I don't even know which one it was. It was over at Tim's house, and I put it on. I saw colors in one of the monsters that I'd never seen before. It might have been Destroy All Monsters or something like that. I'm like, oh my God, I never saw that color before, because the VHS copies were so dull and lost so much color. But then when the DVD came out, it's like it was all returned.
Yeah.
But then it was so clear and crisp, then you could also see seam lines in the backdrop. You know? And it took, sometimes you see the occasional wire, you know, I'm like, I never saw it before.
Yeah,
when you mentioned 4K, you know, I still haven't gone to 4K because I was at somebody's house and Conan O'Brien came on in 4K. And I'm like, I don't ever want to see that guy in 4K.
No, it's horrifying.
It's terrible. It is. It's just so, you know. Yeah.
We bought 4K. And we've got it nothing. But it is like that scary now to see, even from like the regular 720 or 1080. To this jump, it's like, holy fuck, that's just ridiculous.
That's reminds me of the 30 Rock.
Oh,
well, when they did the high definition.
right.
That was one of the funniest shows
ever. Yep. Liz is looking like a troll and Jack is like his younger self.
Right, Jack.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a great show.
I still have probably two dozen VHS tapes.
It's coming back as a trend
in my house. In my house,
you know, I kind of wish I kept mine, but I got rid of them.
I've only got maybe two dozen or something like that. You
know? I still have my
of ones. I don't know why I still got them, because I don't have a player or anything.
Yeah, I think one of the podcasts I listen to, what's it called?
Heavy Metal Horror?
It's a bunch of these guys that are musicians that they love horror movies, and they grew up, they're about the same age as I am, and they have a whole library, they have combined library of VHS tapes. So if they want to review a movie, they'll all sit together and go into this room they have that they set up to just watch it on a regular TV on VHS the way they originally experienced it as kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then talk about it.
That's interesting.
When it's awesome. Funny because they don't necessarily talk about the fact that they watched a VHS. They just say, this is how we do these things. But it's, you know, and then they just go and talk about the movie. So it's not really a thing that informs the discussion that they have. But I just think it's interesting that they want to go back to that time when they would, you know.
And yeah.
The sound of click, you know, and all of
there's some guy I follow on Instagram, and that's his whole shtick, that are Facebook. But like, he broadcasts parts of the movies he watches in his basement on VHS or on Betamax. He'll tell you, it's on this and such machine, on this and such TV. Like his whole thing, like you could, and it's always the old school TV. And then you put it on, or this is a Laserdisc print of Halloween or whatever. You know, it's that retro thing. But VHS is actually in a big market now. It's starting to make a comeback. People are like selling them on eBay and on Facebook.
Huge. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And selling them for like $3 a piece to $5. I got a VHS of the Super Bowl from 1955 or whatever here. Or you know, here I'm selling it for $5.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's like people that still deal with like Super 8 film and stuff, you know. Not that's not the same, you know, because that's really a niche market. I don't know about the VHS. That's first I've heard.
I think.
I mean, I guess it's probably so because I think it's just so useless.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean,
I'm sorry. The quality is just so fucking bad. Why would you want to watch it? I mean, even for nostalgic reasons, why would you want to watch it when you could watch it in a better quality?
Maybe it's just archiving.
That to me has bearing.
Some of the movies, though, like. Were you can't find now because of the way the streaming services have bought up. Like I'm talking Star Wars.
Well, now that, I know your favorite. A good,
and that was the only thing because Star Wars came out in letterboxed editions. This is before Lucas fucked them up and started throwing all shit on the screen. And so I remember getting a copy of that, the original theatrical release letterboxed, the really nice remastered print because the film by this time had been degrading. And so when they brought them back out in the theaters for a while, they also made VHS tapes. And so that for me was the only time I could see that movie. And then when Lucas fucks it up and all the other shit's on the screen, now that's the only version you can see on Disney or anywhere. Except some of us still have the old, but not just VHS, but finally a digital copy of the original theatrical release.
He did that to THX too. Whereas you know, he saw the film, then he went back and stuck all the CGI stuff in it.
Did he? God, did he not learn his fucking lesson?
There's a couple of scenes.
That's what THX
is. THX is audio.
No, they did some visual stuff.
That's what he needs. That's what TH-1138 needs. It needs more visuals.
The other big thing that people are doing is they're going to garage sales and estate sales and getting videotape of people's lives, you know, and then selling them, you know, on eBay because people want to see
funny GCR sex
what other people's lives. Isn't that crazy?
For years we avoided the whole movie. Here, let me show you our video from our trip to the Cancacos. No, they want to leave. And now people, that's great, people are buying fucking home movies. Oh my god.
Yeah, eBay is crazy. I mean, it's just the shit that people want to get into, you know. One of the reasons that people like VHS is not necessarily even to watch them. It's because the spines are bigger and you can put them on a shelf and you can actually see
the graphic design.
It looks cool. Better. Yeah.
So it becomes a decorator thing, like people buying books by the color.
Well, and
this is my orange shelf.
I buy books because nobody can look at my iPad and know how many I have on that Kindle. And here they go, oh, look how smart he is. He's very well read.
Yeah.
Look at all those Doc Savage novels. Shit, man.
That's right. This guy must be a doctor.
A savage doctor.
Savage.
Savage doctor. With a pen of dark hue. A coppery hue.
You know, I remember going to buy videotapes, blank video cassettes, and always looking for the good deal on them, because you know sometimes it could tell if they were too cheap they were going to be shit, the quality was going to be garbage, you know. But because back then, I mean, I was young, I was working, didn't have a lot of money, so but I would usually get like a 10 pack of tapes and it would usually cost me about $2 a tape. I don't know if that was common. Those were pretty good quality VHS, but they were probably all the same. Like it comes out of the same factory, like Duff
Gear.
You know, Lady Duff. You just slap a different Maxell or whatever label on it, you know. Do you guys remember like how much cassettes were when you were buying them?
You saying that though reminded me of Suncoast Video.
Suncoast, yeah.
Suncoast. I forgot about Suncoast. Yeah.
Yeah. What I remember is I was so broke one Christmas that to get Christmas gifts for everybody, I rented movies that I thought they would like and put three of them on a tape and then, you know, drew on the label and stuff and then handed them out to everybody. I think Mom got a bunch of Charlie Chan movies that, you know,
she
had access to. And I don't remember what I got everybody else.
That's good. That's good.
That's good. See, that's a gift that's meaningful. See, that right.
It was curated. I was like, what Charlie can I Chan? Get to I for hate everybody? Except Professor Feather goes, why'd you put three on one? This is going to be low quality.
Worst Christmas ever.
Oh!
Ever.
I'm never watching this.
Not watching this shit.
Best of
I would always record on SLP as well. You know, I would see the sound, the picture quality difference, but I'm like, yeah, but I could not afford to do like Profether always did, would have one movie on a
tape
like that. Wow. Of course, I was an addict to like just collecting it. It was just like, I got to have it all, like fucking Pokemon, you know. I'm glad I came out on the Pokemon side, a little too old to care. But I just, if there was a movie out, I recorded it. Like I would just, you know, buy blank cassettes. I would just be recording every fucking thing in the world.
Are you guys familiar with
I borrowed a tape from you once, and it was, Godzilla versus Mothra, the newer one?
Oh, okay.
But it was like someone filmed it inside.
Oh, in a studio. That was the bootleg that we got. Yeah, right? Yeah. We got it. We
the fucker fell asleep, though. You could hear
it. It was like, well, and halfway through the camera tilts. The kids are screaming. You hear the scream when Godzilla comes out. The music comes on. Like, the kids like, oh my god!
And then we were watching one where the camera's sitting there, and all of a sudden the camera starts going up because apparently the person went to sleep. Well, I think like you had that, Tar. Didn't you have that?
It could have. Yeah, I think well, it was
it's
the same
one
kid,
where the people would stand up in front of the camera too and walk out. You know, see that silhouette. Now they do. They still do that. And they do it with these like new iPhones and shit, and they're pretty fucking good. And then they go in and they bump up the audio and stuff like that. And it's they used to call them telescenes.
Yeah.
Right. That was that was because telescene was the process of taking a film and projecting it and then digitizing it. Because they didn't
recording it. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't have the ability to
scan. That was the whole process in the early days. That's why we don't have a whole lot of early stuff from TV and everything.
Right.
Because they had no way of really recording it. They had to do the telescene process, which was very involved. And most people said, who cares?
Okay.
Who cares? 50 years from now, this is going to be forgotten.
Right.
Oh, what were we thinking?
Come to find out.
Yeah. And then all the stuff that was shot on video, like in the 70s and 80s, like I look at all the episodes of like our local super host, you know, a local horror super host. Yeah. And, you know, follow him and got the chance to get a nice autograph from him. But anyway, finding out that while a handful of the episodes survive, most of the stuff was just shot over because it was a videotape, and they just they broadcast it, then they used the tape again to shoot another show. You know, they didn't keep it; they weren't archiving it because it was just Superhost.
You know? They thought that this is not gonna. That's why I said, you know, their whole attitude was, you know, 20 years, 10 years from now, nobody's even gonna know. They're not even gonna remember this stuff. They don't
it's disposable.
Care.
Yeah.
And they found out that, you know, that wasn't true. But,
I'm grateful for the archivist. There's the guy who worked on Houlihan and Big Chuck and Little John. He's on Facebook, and he has on archive.org. You can get several hundred episodes. And he also has a Roku channel. There are two.
I got the Roku channel.
There are two of them. The two Big Chuck and Little John Roku channels. One's for holidays specials. And so basically what they did, they put a whole bunch of holiday movies together. It's like a 22-hour block. You just let it play, which is awesome.
Did he do Big Chuck and Little John, or did he do Big Chuck and Houlihan too?
Both. He did both. Yeah, he was on both. So he archived all these episodes. Yeah.
That to me, Big Chuck and Houlihan. I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode with Little John, because by that time I just wasn't into him.
Sure.
Right.
But I watched. You know, I faithfully watched Big Houlihan and Big Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. I think
In the 70s I did, you know, early 80s, but by the time the 90s were rolling around, they weren't showing like horror. And I was too busy on Saturdays. I was usually doing other stuff, and I kind of got out of touch with them and then kind of come back later. But
I got into I liked the costumed horror hosts. I've never really been into the
Gullardi, Count Vidor.
Almost all of them, you know, Chuck and Houlihan. You know, they were one of the first ones I think I ever saw that were just guys. You know, they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they weren't being zany.
Yeah, they weren't being. They were being zany.
Other than their skits,
but looking, they didn't look zany.
The visuals,
Well, I mean, Gullardi really set that. Well, at least for my parents loved Gullardi, and I grew up watching The Ghoul, his predecessor. So,
his
1971. Yeah. So,
The Ghoul was his imitator.
What's interesting about all that is, like, I was watching, at the time when they were all on at about the same time, too, and you could watch all of them. you know, over.
Yeah, I think it was, Friday nights was the Ghoul, or Saturday
was Saturday Hula was Big Chuck. Friday night was Hula Big Chuck.
And then Saturday was the Ghoul? That could be.
Yeah.
And then Saturday afternoon was Super Host for me in Cleveland.
And Sir Graves Gasly. Yeah, right. Sir Graves Gasly was in the afternoon.
Saturday afternoons. Yeah.
Then there was one in Central Ohio called the Night Owl. He was on Saturdays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fritz.
Yeah.
We're friends with Fritz.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Yes. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen him for years.
He doesn't do much. Yeah. I don't think he's doing much these days because he's getting right up there. Right. Yeah. He's one of the Dr. Head. You learned early on, don't ask him a question about his history or anything, because that guy could talk for hours
nice.
And not shut up. It was very interesting.
And it was the first time.
Yeah,
but it's usually the same thing.
he's a pretty cool guy.
He met so many famous people on his show because he did other things besides just the Fritz the Night Owl. And then the other one that was like that, because they're old TV, that's Count Gore Duvall.
Yes.
Dick Diesel. I mean, one of my favorite documentaries of all time is Every Other Day is Halloween.
Yeah.
About him and then all the personas he played at a television station.
Plus, he's a hypnotist.
Right.
He would do hypnotism out in live.
He was Bozo.
He's really the grandfather of internet horror hosting.
Yeah.
He started his show in 2008 or something like that. Very early. He's had an internet presence. His internet presence now is pretty huge.
He was Bozo on the television station that he worked at too, and he refused to shave his mustache, so he would have to put like a skin thing over, almost like a bald cap.
I bet that looked kind of creepy.
It looked really fucked up, and you could see, I think in the documentary you see where it breaks every once in a while.
Well, it's like Cesar Romero wouldn't shave to be the Joker.
Yeah, the Joker, but
I didn't have to wear an appliance over it though.
Yeah. Because he's Cesar Romero.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome. He's fucking great.
What was his pirate? Latitude Zero?
Latitude Zero.
Yeah, what was he? What was his name? Malachi!
I don't remember the name. I've only seen Latitude Zero one time. So it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been 30 years.
Like these thigh-high leather boots.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that was really hard to get. I remember seeing it finally with Tim.
It was.
Probably got it from like Video Daikaiju or something, which is where we mostly got all of our, quality bootlegs. That was where, you get a good Japanese print and someone puts subtitles on it, like hard-coded, subtitles. And so that's how we really got a lot of the movies, Godzilla movies that we had never, ever seen here in the States that were being released in Japan, but they stopped like after 1984. There was nothing. So, and then Video Daikaiju came out, not only with just Godzilla, but Gamera and, all kinds of tokusatsu. Stuff, yeah. Then Johnny Sacco. I finally got, Johnny Sacco and Ultraman was out, There was just, you could get all the Japanese versions of just like all kinds of crazy stuff. It was expensive, but I remember one year I made a list of movies that I wanted and like, my parents got me like the whole list. I'm like, oh fuck, it's like 12 movies. Yeah, it was awesome. That was really nice. It's cool. Yeah,
well, I think it's we can also point to like with VHS and DVD coming on and also cable, is the death of local television. You know what I mean? Because I remember that there was all kinds of personalities. Go ahead.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
Because we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, the death of local personalities was not only that, that was it, but even a little before that was the infomercial.
Oh, right.
That took over, our local horror host at the time.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it anymore because he couldn't compete against the infomercials. The infomercials, the station could get that infomercial next to nothing and show it, and it was nowhere near the same as showing a local show, you know. I don't know. Local TV just kind of has gone by the wayside to a large degree. It's so funny. We have in Toledo, we have, a couple of stations, and where I live, we can't get network TV. We don't have the capability to get network TV. Don't you have to have a special antenna now or something?
It's the digital antenna.
Yeah. Digital.
Yeah, digital antenna. We just opted not to get it. But if I want to watch local news, which is about the only thing I ever watched on, I have it on the internet. You know, they have an actual show, their digital show that they stream, And so, I don't really need to. Of course, if the internet ever goes down, I'll be fucked. But
no, you got all those VHS.
That's true. Yeah, that's
finally
true. And DVDs.
You'll have to hold them up to the light to see them.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a wicked ViewMaster collection.
Oh, I was gonna say ViewMaster. You beat me to it. Nice, nicely done.
I used to really like ViewMaster as well.
Oh, fuck yeah!
When I was little. Yeah.
The ones that were realistic looking, like the Winnie the Pooh. I still love the Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree. It looks like these are like physical things in the physical space, not like a cartoon, but 3D. Oh God, those were the best.
They did. I remember the one Animal World. You remember the one with the dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs, yeah.
They had the red tint. Yeah, it was like the I thought that was cool. That was had that 3D look to it, and then the Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea discs. I had those, and that was cool. Yeah, had that whole 3D thing going on, but
I was so obsessed with cartoons that I got that little like projector thing that you could hold up to your eye and put a cartridge in it, and it would play like 20 seconds of a cartoon with no sound.
Yeah.
And so you'd go out and buy, it was so stupid, but you'd go out and buy all these like little cartridges.
So frustrating too.
Some Disney.
I was like, I know Dr. Tarr, the whole Super 8 thing.
Oh yeah.
That was the same way, you'd buy the Mummy in Super 8, and it's 8 minutes long.
Right. Well, sometimes no sound.
And no sound. Yeah.
Lucky if it was 200 feet, but.
But you still watch it though.
Oh yeah. That's how I saw the Destroy All Monsters for the first time, or Monster Zero and Curse of the Demon. My cousin had a projector. We went to the library. We rented these out. We got popcorn. It was like our own movie theater. And
You used to be able to rent Super 8 movies at the library. That's true.
Yeah. Six glorious silent minutes. We could watch a very terse summary of Curse of the Demon or Monster Zero. It was all really just a fight, But I'm like, oh my God.
That's kind of awesome. That was the precursor to VHS, actually.
Yeah, right.
The opera.
And with VHS, it was like
200 foot reels.
Yeah, because some things the sense of fragility of it all, because it was, or the ephemeralness of television, it was just gone. But being able to capture that, like on shows, like I recorded like Star Blazers was like one of the first thing because I just loved that anime, and just every horror movie that was on, every time a Godzilla movie came on or a horror movie or a sci-fi movie, that's how I first saw Green Slime. I just saw it was on USA like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, fuck, Green Slime, that sounds awesome. I'm gonna record that.
The first time I saw it, I think it was like awesome. CBS late night movie on some Friday night or something, like Saturday night, but anyway, Green Slime came on. But anyway,
I think the first porn I saw was on 8mm, and the first porn was on 8mm. It was John Holmes and Sika. And I learned my first lesson,
and to use widescreen,
shouldn't that be a 12mm
wide angle lens?
I learned my first lesson 8mm. Yeah, I learned my first lesson in that I do not want to watch porn with other guys ever. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Not for me.
Thanks, Jerry Seinfeld.
I know, right?
Neither circling nor jerking.
He's got a new movie out. Oh my God,
John Holmes.
Who?
John Holmes. I know. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Still dead.
Oh no!
Return of the Stiff.
God damn, twice.
Yeah, It's not rigor mortis, but it's still hard.
Would you like to see it?
Yeah, I met Seinfeld.
Edward
Seinfeld.
Oh, it's frosted or something. It's about Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Glazed or what it was called, something like that. Yeah. Speaking of John Holmes.
Ed would like to see it.
I'll not watch it.
It's on Netflix. But I have not seen the trailer for it. It hasn't come out yet, but I'm sure I'll.
What's that?
It's supposed to be a biopic. The Jerry Seinfeld movie. It's the about the guy who created Pop-Tarts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other movie he did was that B movie, I think, right?
Yeah, he did the voice for that.
Huh? I heard it's not bad.
Isn't it?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard.
I just dislike Jerry Seinfeld so much that I don't want to watch him.
You didn't watch the series, the TV show?
Oh yeah, but that's not him. It's the Seinfeld show.
I watched the TV show David. Not because of Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
If he would have not been on the TV show, I'd have been way happier. Seriously, I just didn't like. I don't like him in any form. Personally, I don't like him. I don't like him in any form. Just the way it is, you know?
Yeah, you like what you like.
Yeah. I think he's one of the worst comics I've ever fucking heard. Anyway, so back to VHS. Jerry Seinfeld.
VHS? What's up with that? How do I want to see this square
wait a minute.
On my big TV?
Dr. Head, you're canceled.
I will say one other thing about the only thing good about the Jerry Seinfeld TV show was when they would show the opening, him in a club and doing his comedy, nobody would fucking laugh. You listen, there's an audience there. They're not laughing. Maybe a couple of people. I'm going, didn't that tell you people something?
That's why they stopped.
And they finally quit doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. After the first couple of seasons, it was like, nope, not good. Not a good way to show. Get the show going. Yeah.
Back to VHS. Something that's interesting.
We're almost at an hour here, so.
Well, then, let's leave.
Like a good VHS tape, it's time. We've run out.
Oh, my God, we're overdue.
Short play has run out.
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah, this is not LP. This is not extended long play, ELP, yeah.
No, there's nothing about me long. Yeah, I'm used to you doing the heavy metal horror wrap up. Hey, you can find heavy metal horror on Facebook.
We're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
Yeah, Mike, where am I at? I don't know.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump?
There we go.
Have been experiencing
radio
LP.
UnsaneRadio@gmail.com. Unsane Radio is on Facebook, for whatever the fuck good that is these days. Unsane Radio. There you go. You can get unsaneradio.com. Go there and look at the pictures.
Enjoy.
Tar and Feather. Yeah, we're around.
On YouTube.
Very round.
And, Vimeo.
Very round.
We are on YouTube.
Yeah, we're getting around.
We're still
they're
on
taking
Vimeo.
After me.
We're still on Vimeo, actually.
I'm working on my godlike body with the god I'm going for is Buddha. So, everybody, rub my belly for a dollar. Oh, and hey, speaking of rubbing for a dollar, Heavy Metal Horror is out every other Friday. Yeah, we got a good one coming out soon with Crow Lotus from Capra. She's a great interview, and we got some good slugfests coming. Diary of a Madman versus Blizzard of Oz. Oh, yeah. Good stuff coming. Heavy Metal Horror on the podcast, on the Unsane Radio, and the YouTubes, and Instagrams, and the Facebooks. Heavy Metal Horror. And don't forget, family friendly Wee Freaks,
WEEFREAKS,
on the Facebooks, the best cute peanutsy comic If Peanuts were done with circus freaks, that's what you're getting. We freaks. Go out there and enjoy.
And Midnight Gadfly will be playing the Westwood Theater. And nothing to do with the arts.
A solo performance.
Man solo, on a toilet. Man on a toilet bowl.
Not even noticed.
Hung like a cashew.
Thank you, James.
You lost.
A cold cashew.
Cold cashew.
Old cashew. I'm more like a frightened turtle.
Chewy, chewy, chewy cashew.
Is it supposed to hang out? I didn't know that.
Shelled or unshelled?
That's right.
Thank you.